Safety Program with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. We just had an excellent interview with Joe Connor. We talked about January 6th, the state of our nation, a little bit of Donald Trump. I tried my hand at a Donald Trump impression. I love giving like these impressions, everybody. I can do a lot more of them. I don't know if I will, though. We'll see. As I get more comfortable in my role as a TNT host, guys, as you get more comfortable with me, maybe I'll dabble here and there in some impressions. Trump has a really interesting way of talking, and I think Trump impressions are hilarious. One of the things that I've been doing a lot, one of the things you should do, go on TikTok or wherever you guys get your videos and go look up like these Trump impressions, these people that do his voice. It's amazing what people can do. People can mimic voices almost identically. And also know there's a bunch of these filter things, and this is something that's really crazy right now. They can take somebody's face, and with a filter, they can deep fake a person's face. So you really never know if a person online is actually that person now, because it could just be a filter on their face that makes them look that certain way. That's one of the questions I had about Joe Biden early on, which is whether he was actually there or not. We're joined by Bob Hoge, everybody. Bob Hoge is a father and a small businessman, and more recently a daily contributor to the conservative website Red State. He grew up in Chicago and New York City, went to high school in Boston and college in North Carolina, all the while spending summers with family in Wyoming, finally ending up in the best place on earth, Los Angeles, crime-free. Anyway, his familiarity with so many diverse places in America gives him a unique perspective. We're so excited to have him on. Bob, how are you today?
Hi there. Great to speak to you. And I just want to say I hope we hear more Trump things from you in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a funny impersonation. He's so great. So I want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on right now. Have you seen what's going on with this hurricane right now in Florida? I know that it just got upgraded to a Category 4 with 155-mile-per-hour winds. It's absolutely insane. And then the left, what do? They make it completely political right away.
I've absolutely been watching it. I have some relatives there. And one of the interesting things about living in California is we live with the realization that any night a catastrophe like that could happen, but we have no warning. Whereas in Florida, you have days and days of worrying about it. So it's a different mindset, equally difficult. And yes, Biden immediately politicized this by refusing to reach out to Governor Ron DeSantis, while reaching out to all the mayors in Florida and just ghosting DeSantis at first. They finally spoken, but it was a ridiculous move.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I saw some of the videos of what's happening right now. This is insane. But in the middle of a Florida highway, there was a shark swimming down the highway.
Oh my God.
In Florida. It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, and I think we knew about this for a long time. Florida declared a state of, like you said, they declared a state of emergency before this thing was even formed. They were really looking at this. Right. And I think the left is one of the things that I've noticed about the left, which I have to give them respect for, which is that they're opportunists. Way more than we tend to be. Conservatives are not as good at using, political opportunities as the left is. The left, they are concerned with what is useful at the moment that it is useful, and as soon as it is not useful, they ditch it and they move on to the next thing. They're not interested in holding on to values. They're not interested in holding on to things. They're not interested in the past, in the facts. They're not interested in that. They're interested in momentary usefulness. What is useful in the moment, right? Because they know they have a very good understanding of the way Americans are, which is very momentary centered. We're not really looking at the past. We're dumb. Like that's literally how they view us. And I think that's true. I think a lot of Americans are dumb right now. And that's a really, word to use about Americans, but it's true. There's these videos I watch of these YouTubers going on the street and they ask people, random Americans, simple questions like, who was the first president of the United States? These kids have no idea. They have no idea what is going on.
Those videos can be so depressing because you just are shocked by how vacant some of these people are.
It's horrible. I mean, they ask them the most simple questions. You're like, that's easy. Oh, they'll get that. What's 2 times 7? And it's like, they can't get it. 15. that's what the Democrats are betting on. And so this momentary usefulness is what they're so good at, right? With all these school shootings, let's talk about Uvalde, right? The school shooting that happened in Texas, that was really important to them in the moment, because what did it represent? It represented an assault rifle that was used to kill little children. That's super useful in the moment, right? But the subway shooting in New York City, where a black man got on a subway and used a pistol to shoot a bunch of people, that's not as useful, because it's not an assault weapon, and the guy wasn't white, so we can't really blame him, right? That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That story just disappeared,
exactly, because it's not useful. It doesn't fit into their narrative. So, and they're very good at that. You have to give them respect for that.
A similar one was the Christmas, I believe it was Christmas time, Maryland, or where was that? The guy mowed down a bunch of people at a Christmas parade. And story disappeared almost as soon as it started, because it didn't fit the narrative. And there was no assault rifle, as you say, and the guy wasn't a white supremacist, so they just buried it, but he killed a bunch of people. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why the left is so – their language is so vivid. It really just gets down to this. We need to learn a lesson from them, which is that, like they do, we need to focus on things that are useful, that can appeal to the American people, because those useful things make big change. That's what we're seeing right now. These laws that are getting passed through Congress and through Senate, what's being passed right now, this transgender crap that's being passed from Capitol Hill. We've got the gay marriage bill. The senators voting for this gay marriage enshrining gay marriage, right? All of these very, very, you know, left-leaning laws being passed. Why is that? Because the concern on behalf of the left is always there. They are the loudest. They are the most concerned, and they're extremely persistent, and that's one of the things that we're not. And we need to start.
Right.
I think we need to start changing our strategy and the way we address this. But back to Florida, and back to a little bit of current events, because I'm really just, there's so much happening, right? It's like every day I wake up and I check Breitbart. What news do you check usually? Where do you go for your news?
Well, first I check Red State, of course, to make sure we're doing our stuff. I go, I actually like to read a variety. So I will actually look at CNN, not first, but I will look at it because I want to know what they're thinking. I will look at the New York Times and the Washington Post because I want to know what they're thinking. I find so many people, if they just will read their own side, and, you know, I have people who will only read the New York Times. And you say, did you know about the Hunter Biden laptop? They'll say, what are you talking about? And that's because it was simply just never covered. And there's countless things like that. So I will first go to Fox News. I do check Breitbart, as you mentioned, and I check a variety of things. But like I say, I will also go to the left-leaning sites so I get a better understanding of what are they doing and why. And actually, I don't understand it any better because they're nuts, but at least I know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, they're. I think that this is something that's an interesting thing to talk about, which is the motive, right? Conservatives were often looking for a motive. Why on earth would somebody do that? That doesn't make sense. I hate to break it to everybody. That's the point. The point is that it doesn't make sense. The point of their agenda and what they are doing is to confuse your moral compass. It's to confuse every compass that you have, mentally, physically, morally, spiritually, socially. They thrive off of fear and confusion. A fearful populace is a subjugated populace. What's the best way to make people afraid? It's to confuse them. This is that's what they're trying to do, right? This is not a party that cares about reality, that cares about science, that cares about statistics. They care about winning. They care about winning. So those things are out of the door, right? They don't care about whether something is actually true or whether it's not. That doesn't matter to them. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter. What matters is, can we convince people that this is true? Right? That's the only thing that matters to them, because if they can win with it, then they'll use it. And if they can't win with it, then they ditch it. That's what we see CNN doing with Trump. When Trump's the president, right, what does CNN talk about? Trump, 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 every single day, 24/7, because it's useful to their ratings. Their ratings were sky high when he was the president. We were just talking about that with our last guest.
Right. Now, that is a great point you just made about confusion and how facts don't matter. And then you moved on to Trump. But I just have a funny little thing is last night, I'm like, wow, this hurricane is serious. I'm going to go and find the coverage. And Fox was on a commercial. So I'm like, let me see what CNN and MSNBC were doing. I went to CNN. They were covering the hurricane. MSNBC was really upset that the January 6th committee was canceled because of the hurricane. So what'd they do? They rebroadcast old footage and talked about January 6th all night. It's like there is a major hurricane. This is not about the committee meeting 2 weeks ago or whatever.
There's sharks swimming down the street. There's literally sharks in the street.
So we had a clip that we found that shows a camera. I forget which town in Florida it's in, but it's 6 feet off the ground. And right now it's underwater. That's how serious what's going on down there is.
Oh my gosh. And you know what's going to come next is this is about climate change. This we need to do our part to make sure that we fight against climate change. It's like, what are you talking about? This is where the stats go out the window, right? Because we've actually been in a hurricane deficit. There hasn't really been these giant storms and the frequency that we've seen in the past, the frequency of these giant storms is actually decreasing, right? But the moment that one occurs, what is it? Like I said, it's useful in the moment. They're going to forget about it once it's gone. Like this is useful in the moment. Storms, catastrophes, whatever is politically useful.
Well, there was a funny thing that happened this morning is that Don Lemon on his show, his demoted morning show,
he's an idiot.
Got on with the meteorologist and said, this is global warming. And the meteorologist basically said, no, it's a storm. And storms happen in Florida, and completely shut him down. It was kind of a beautiful moment.
That happened also. He was talking to some woman about slavery, and she said, oh, yeah, but we should also remember where slavery began. It began in Africa. Are those people going to receive, you know, whatever it's called for the slavery that they participated in? He's like, well,
everybody,
thanks for coming on. He's such a loser. They're all terrible. Literally, the talent, what do we see? Brian Stelter's gone. Cuomo's gone. That place is, a stinkhole.
Yeah. Yeah, Stelter finally got the axe. I thought Lemon was going to get it, but he got the morning show instead, which he insists is a promotion hysterically when it's a pretty obvious demotion. Darcy is back with a newsletter, Reliable Sources newsletter, which is pretty much anything but. And I really think that they've done a disservice to this country. I mean, I remember during the Gulf War, they were the go-to network, and they covered it really fairly. And we needed to know what was going on, and they gave it to us. And now you never turn to CNN if you need to know what's really happening, because you know you're going to get a healthy dose of political bias in almost every story they cover.
And they have – one of the things that is so sad about that is they have such incredible journalists who are under their employ. They have a lot of resources. They have some actually really great journalists. The problem is that when the head of the fish is rotten – the fish is rotten, right? It doesn't matter whether the other parts are good. There's a lot of good parts to CNN. There's a lot of really, really talented people that are actually interested in the truth, but those people are overshadowed by the narrative, like I said. I want to talk a little bit about, because you're going to have a lot of opinions on this. 22 lawmakers are demanding that Merrick Garland explain the alleged FBI SWAT raid on Catholic pro-life activist Mark Hauck. As many as 22 lawmakers have called upon Attorney General Merrick Garland to provide an explanation. Why the heck are you, raiding this guy? There's a video about it. At the moment, it appears to be an extraordinary overreach for political ends. These lawmakers said the letter demanded that Merrick Garland respond by the 30th of September. When you look at what's happening right now with the FBI, this uptick in political. It seems as if political raids on political opponents simply because they disagree on policy. What does this remind you of?
Well, it's absolutely shocking just to get it right. I mean, it reminds me of, frankly, a banana republic. It seems like you could compare it to the Stasis in East Germany or whichever authoritarian government you can think of. I mean, this guy is an anti-abortion person who goes out on the street and tries to convince women, don't get that abortion. Now, he's allowed to do that under the First Amendment. Somebody hassled him and got up in his 12-year-old kid's face and was yelling at him and saying obscenities. Kind of reminds me of the, what was his name, Nick Sandman thing?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, kid. It was kind of similar. So evidently he shoved him when he was abusing this 12-year-old boy. Okay, not supposed to shove people, I get that. Would an armed FBI agent showing up at your house at 7 in the morning compared to shoving somebody who was not injured and it was not a particularly violent thing? He just shoved him back, said, get away from my 12-year-old. So they show up with 25 or 30, according to Hook, I think is how, however you pronounce it, with guns and started flashing them in his kids' faces, and they were screaming and terrified. And you know that just the other day, a guy ran over and killed a young 18-year-old man who he accused of being a right-wing extremist, although there's no extremist, although there's no proof of that. What happens to him? He's out the next day after murdering somebody. Did a 25 armed FBI agents show up at his house? No.
No.
And, you know, it's just a pattern. You've got Mar-a-Lago raid. You've got Roger Stone, where they had amphibious assault people in the waters and tons of armed agents outside his house. Now, whether or not you like Roger Stone, he's a 70-something-year-old man who'd already said, yeah, I'll turn myself in. What do you need a huge crowd of heavily armed agents? And this has been happening over and over again, and it's really getting quite scary. I mean, this guy is a nice guy with, well, I don't know him, but he's got five kids, and he pushed somebody. Okay, you could push somebody in front of a train in New York City and be on the streets that afternoon.
yeah, that's exactly right. Or in Los Angeles, you can go into a store, steal $900 of anything you want, and then you'll be absolutely fine. Everybody, we're going to be back with Bob right after a short break.
You should hear what Rick Munn's talking about.
The pound sinks to a record low against the dollar, and the UK economy is predicted to flatline next year as the PM talks about the mini budget on Friday. It wasn't a mini budget. It was a maxi budget. It was a monster budget. It was a gargantuan budget. It was the behemoth of all budgets. It has tanked us down the toilet. So please, spare me with the mini-budget business. And there's reasons why this Kwasi Kwarteng character did what he did. Apparently. Allegedly. The word on the street is Liz Truss has a lot of banker friends who were shorting the pound last week. That means they were betting it would fall. And Kwasi donged us with the budget. And guess what? It's tanked to an all-time low. So if that story is true, then someone's made a lot of money off the back of Liz Truss's budget. Imagine that. A politician's friends making money off what the politician does. Who would have thought it?
Rick Munn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com.
For the news and talk you can't hear anywhere else.
It gives you some awareness of what's really going on.
Where things are at, even around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. I'm joined by Bob Soge, and we're talking today, we're talking today about the hurricane in Florida. And you know what? I'm looking on right now, I asked you before what news sites that you love going on. I love the Daily Wire, honestly. Everybody, I highly recommend the Daily Wire. It's great. They do a really good job. I think they refrain away from some things. Even the Daily Wire is is a little bit, they're hesitant to get involved in the most politically controversial things some of the time. I'm critical of Ben Shapiro and those people for that. It's so important that we have people like you and I that are not afraid to address the issues that we really feel that we should address, right? Like, that's so important. And for these, and for the red, you know, red state, for any news organization, it's so important that they do that. I want to ask you about Gavin Newsom now. Are you in Los Angeles right now?
I am.
Yeah. How is it over there? Well, how's it going? Is it nice?
Great. It's a beautiful day, but the city is under siege. You asked about Gavin Newsom. I think he's absolutely doing his best to destroy the state. And then we have people in the city like District Attorney George Gascon, who is intent on turning this into a criminal wasteland. Yeah. And he's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, but Gavin Newsom's a handsome guy, though. He's handsome.
I know. He's got you can't knock voice him. And the hair gel. And he looks the part. And what's funny, there's an article today, I forget what magazine, but you know, there, a lot of people are wondering whether DeSantis and Newsom will end up going against each other for the 2024 presidential election. And the list of accomplishments of DeSantis is off the charts, and Newsom is an utter failure on almost every level. And yet somehow people, you said earlier something about you wonder about the intelligence of people sometimes. I hear people going, what has happened to California? And then they march to the ballot box and vote for Newsom again. And I just cannot get my head around that.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we've talked about Los Angeles a lot on this show in the past weeks. And I think one of the things that became very clear to me was the level of indifference that and obliviousness that Los Angeles citizens have. They seem to me to be indifferent and unconcerned about what is going on, which I think is primarily why all of these policies are left unchecked. They're left rampant. All of these policies on the homeless are left rampant, right? And these people that were indifferent while they were there and they were unconcerned while they were there, as soon as these policies played into their own lives, now they're leaving. Yeah, but where are they leaving? They're leaving to other states. They're leaving to other places where they're going to be what? Indifferent and unconcerned there. There's a crisis of indifferent citizens. The whole point of being a citizen, the whole point of our education system is to raise citizens that are concerned about their country and concerned about what is happening inside of it and the laws that are passed, right? These people that are passing laws were voted by the people. They were voted on or supposedly voted on by the people. That means that in a lot of ways, it's our responsibility to make sure that these laws are going according to plan and the way we want it to go. But if you're an unconcerned and indifferent citizen, you don't care. You don't care who's there. You don't care what law is passed, and you don't care what the consequences are until they directly affect you and make your life crappy because you can't go to a restaurant because there's 8 homeless people out there that smell like garbage and poop and are pooping on the sidewalk with heroin needles around them. Is that and then it's cool to leave. And the problem with that is that once you leave, you bring that mindset other places. It's a horrible trend.
It sure is. And the number of people leaving California, it's being called an exodus. I mean, it's in the hundreds of thousands of it's the first time, I believe, in over a century that we've lost residents. Every other year, people come out here because they want to be in the sunshine. But this is the first time people are leaving, and they're going to Texas. Yeah. They're going to Utah. They're going to Montana, and they just can't take it anymore because some people think. Every time I write it, I do write a lot of California articles, and every time I do, I inevitably get the comment, "Who cares, commie California? You're done. To hell with you." Just keep writing back. You don't understand why I'm writing this. I'm writing this because I'm trying to warn you. What starts in California often ends up in neighboring states and then the whole country, because we are by far the most populous state. And we're the 5th largest economy in the world. And what happens here actually really does matter. For instance, there's a AB5 is a union-backed bill that takes control of it's a bit complicated, but you can't be an independent trucker anymore. And the Biden administration is looking into this and going, yeah, that sounds good. We'll do that on a national scale. So whatever happens here, the Biden administration will certainly be checking in on, and other states will too. Mm. And, all the things I talk about when they say, well, we don't care, it's just California. Well, it might be coming to you soon.
Yeah, I think that's right. We're going to go to the news a little bit early, everybody, because I'm really interested in talking about Gavin Newsom and his potential presidential run, his hopes for president, you know, hoping that that smile and that hair gel can get him all the way there. Everybody, will be back with Bob right after the short news break.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Hurricane Ian rapidly intensified off Florida's southwest coast Wednesday morning, gaining top winds of 155 miles per hour, just shy of the most dangerous Category 5 status. North Korea's test fired two more missiles the day before Vice President Harris goes to South Korea. Russia is preparing to annex four more areas of Ukraine its troops took control of during the invasion, following a referendum vote that the U.S. claims is a sham.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. Joining me today is Bob Hoge. I've already had a really fun and pleasant interview so far. You know what's so fun is when you meet somebody who is like you and is funny like you and likes the same things and you agree, it's such a pleasant feeling. And you can't do that on social media. You can't do that, right? One of the things that, you know, you might have 40,000 followers on social media, whoever you are out there, listener, you might have a huge social media account, but the pleasure and the joy of actually being like befriending people and witnessing what they're saying and conversing with those people, like you can't get that from a screen. And so one of the things that, you know, social media is kind of sucking the meaning out of social bonds, I think, in a lot of ways. It was founded to make people more connected, and I think it's only furthered social division. I want to ask you about Newsom right now. Democratic governor of California, Gavin Newsom, he signed a slew of abortion-related bills this Tuesday, attempting to set his state further apart from areas that have been taken action, that have taken action to protect the lives of the unborn. One of the things that we witnessed really early on was when Roe v. Wade was overturned. Gavin Newsom kind of launched this whole campaign, to make California not only a sanctuary city for illegals until they're flown there by DeSantis, but also a sanctuary city for death. So if you want to be a murderer and kill your child and murder your baby and execute him for no other reason than convenience, come to California. We are the state of murder for the world. That is what he's saying. And he's putting them on billboards across other states. He put a billboard up in Texas that read, "Can't kill your baby here? Oh, that sucks. Well, if you come to our state, you sure as heck can." It's like, that's his literal strategy right now. And I think one of the things that the left and the Democrats are betting on is that life and abortion, these issues are going to be the key issues as far as their presidential hopes and winning elections. That these are the issues that mobilize people, that these are the issues that people are concerned with, are gun control and abortion. What do you think of what's going on right now in California with Newsom and these laws and the direction that the Democrats are setting for themselves?
Well, it frankly seems kind of gruesome to me that you want your state to be known primarily it just seems like, wow, that's kind of a dark vision for who you want to be. And this isn't directly related to abortion, but this weird obsession that Newsom has with other states, specifically DeSantis, but also Texas. He put up a billboard. I think it was him. Let's see. But oh no, it was a mystery billboard. Somebody put up a picture on a billboard of the Uvalde killer and said, "The Texas miracle died in Uvalde. Don't move to Texas." And I just thought that was so macabre and twisted to tie in a mass tragedy into selling your state. And as you pointed out, he's putting billboards in Texas and he's going after DeSantis. And the one question becomes, why aren't you fixing this state before you start going and trolling other states for no apparent reason? And he's made a mess of this state. So it just really seems bizarre that he's doing this.
I mean, it's like with today's abortion expansion, Newsom, he's continually trying to like run a campaign for president, it seems to me. Like this seems to be what he's trying to do. There were 13 bills. Sorry, I'm looking at the bills specifically that were passed. He signed 13 bills from the future, here it is, from the future of abortion council, Newsom hopes to secure his spot in the White House at the expense of women and their unborn children, California Family Council President Jonathan Keller said in an emailed press release. Governor Newsom tells pregnant women California has their back, but only if they choose to end their pregnancies, aka kill their babies. This package provides no care for women who choose to keep their children. That's one of the things I also want to talk. It's like all these companies like Amazon, Apple, even Nike and Adidas, all these companies after Roe v. Wade was overturned, almost unanimously offered women who wanted to end their abortion but were unable to travel cost and time off and cost and covering all of their costs for killing this child, but they don't provide those similar costs to women who are out on maternity leave. They don't provide those same incentives for women to have kids. Rather, they provide incentive for those women to kill their kids instead. I mean, this is just a completely backwards thing. This is what really abortion is. Abortion is the ultimate rejection of your role as a woman in society and in culture and in the world, because a woman's that is a superpower, the ability to give birth to a baby, to put in your body, create a baby, then through your body, deliver the baby into the real world, and then feed that baby with your body. That's amazing. The fact that that is possible is a miracle, and we owe it to God, right? And that's that fundamental rejection of that, of motherhood and of giving everything for your child and loving your children, which is the strongest love. Isn't that interesting that the strongest love usually that you can feel, you know, apart from your spouse, is the love of your children, right? That love is eternal. Absolutely. Because they're of you, because that child, it represents part of you, right? That's literally what it is. They are an extension of yourself. And so that love is so strong there. And it's so interesting that abortion targets exactly what is the strongest form of love, which is that love that parents should feel for their children.
Yeah, I can tell you, obviously, I didn't give birth to any babies, but I've never felt a stronger meaning in life than my children. There's nothing more important to me, and there's nothing like it. And I think that's how God made the world. That's how it's supposed to be. And you were talking about these companies, and I read a particularly cynical article, but one that may be right on the money, which is that why are companies doing this? Why would they be, oh, I'm going to pay for you to travel to California to get an abortion? Why? Well, because it's cheaper than paying for parental leave and potentially losing an employee. You give a few grand, they go to California, they come back, they're now a worker bee again. Very little money spent, very little loss, but they go get pregnant. Wow. You know, it's pretty dark view, but it's also, when you hear it, you're kind of like, yeah, that makes sense.
I didn't even think of that. I honestly didn't think. I thought that it was for positive press, for, you know, the agenda. But when you look at the motives, yeah, that's a strong motive. It's cheaper to not have an employee leave and take care of a child than it is to just, let's kill the baby. That way she doesn't have to leave.
Get rid of that problem. Oh, but I also think you're right that the publicity and the, getting poetic minutes on CNN is also important to them. But both things can be true.
Yeah, I think that's right. One of the things that's so scary right now is this bill, AB 2223. It prevents someone from facing criminal or civil punishment based on their actions or omissions with respect to their pregnancy or actual potential or alleged pregnancy outcome, including miscarriage, stillbirth, or abortion, or perinatal death due to causes that occurred in utero. While the term perinatal death can refer to fetal deaths at certain ages of gestation, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, it can also be defined as infant deaths that occur at less than 7 days of age, or infant deaths that occur less than 28 days of age. So this term, which is now being decriminalized, would allow people to kill their child and then not face any punishment after that child is born. So the narrative for the left for the longest time was that when that baby is in your body, then it's a part of your body and you should be able to kill it. You should be able to kill it because it's a part of your body. But when it's born, then it's not okay. When it's born, then it's a baby. It becomes a baby when it's born. But now they're moving even further. Now it's not even a baby when it's born. Now it's a mother's right to kill that baby, even if it's alive and on the floor playing with a toy. Then it's okay to kill that child because it's what is it, a part of your body now after it's out of you? This ideology demonstrates how truly evil these people are. That is the word that I can use. Evil.
Yeah. Well, it's infanticide, plain and simple. And that should be a crime in any civilized society. And I remember reading, I think it's the bill you're talking about, but a few months ago I was reading a bill and they referred to abortion. And I thought to myself, well, how can it be abortion if the baby is no longer inside the mom?
It's not abortion.
But they used the word abortion for what actually was infanticide. And I'm sure you saw another story. It's not California or Newsom, but just as bad as Stacey Abrams, the failed wannabe governor of Georgia.
My blood pressure is going up.
Yeah, that the heartbeat of a six-week-old is not real, and that it's manufactured by presumably, you know, patronizing males to make you think that it's a heartbeat. Well, as anybody who's been a parent and has seen the new technology, you know what you're seeing. I saw the faces of my twins very early on with this new 4D technology, they call it. And there's no denying what I was seeing. And I can, to this day, look at my teen kids now and see those faces that I saw when they were just little tiny things in the womb. And so that heartbeat thing from Stacey Abrams was just awful. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, she, total vermin. My blood pressure just skyrockets because of how divisive these people are. They are so selfish, and their ideology is so backwards and pervasive and disgusting. Really, truly disgusting. It's anti beauty. It's anti everything. You talked about civilization a little bit. And whether we live in a, you know, civilized society, or at least we're supposed to live in a civilized society, when you go around and look in Los Angeles, when you look at what's going on, are we in a civilized society today?
The elites are. Like, you go to Pacific Palisades here in Los Angeles, and it's like a different planet. It's just everything's leafy, beautiful. The houses are, you know, millions and millions of dollars. The rest of us, no. You read the things in constant news coming out of Chicago, New York City, Los Angeles, Philadelphia. We're living in fear, and that's not civilized. And you see random beatings and people getting hit just on the back of the head for walking down the street. And I would argue that this is certainly not civilized society, and that it's getting worse. I mean, Gavin Newsom, you were talking about, we found a video the other day of him, I think it was 14 years ago, 12 years ago, going, well, I'm going to clear up the homeless problem in 10 years.
I saw that.
Well, 10 years have passed, and it's quite a bit worse. I know from my own life that it's gotten scary around here. My daughter's car just got ripped off from in front of our house last month. She actually worked at the restaurant that's been in the news lately, where the homeless man was throwing feces at people. Big Fox story, because the guy can't do business, Paul Scrivano. And there's just, you know, every day you read about somebody who was just walking into the subway in New York and somebody just popped them. That poor girl who might lose an eye is the latest one. So no, I would argue that this is not civilization, and crime is, to me, one of the most important issues that I wish conservatives and Republicans, I mean, I know they talk about it, but it should be their number one issue.
And why can't we agree on it?
Yeah, it baffles me.
We literally can't agree on what is a crime and what is not a crime, right? Like, Gascon is allowing people to steal $900 worth of merchandise when entering a store, right? And that's not considered a crime. That's not – listen, a crime is something that you prosecute people for. We can't call that a crime if it's allowed. If things are allowed, then it's not a crime. It's not illegal anymore if it's allowed. Then it's not a crime, right? So what's the definition of crime then? And this mirrors what they're doing with everything, with the definition of gender. What is a woman? Ugh. You have people in universities, professors, who are supposed to be the intellectuals of our society, you know, the smart intellectuals who they have all the information, they have all the knowledge. Let's go to them. They don't know anything. They are they're the people pushing this. You ask them, what is a woman? And they can't give you an answer. It's an impossible question for them.
Our own Supreme Court nominee couldn't give an answer. Not our own, their own, who's now sitting on the court, Ketanji Brown Jackson, I believe. It couldn't answer that question. I just want to jump back to one quick thing, though, that it, just to show you the utter preposterousness of some of these laws.
That's a good word, man. That's a good one.
I don't know if it's a word, but I just made it up. But you were talking about you can steal up to $900, I believe it is, dollars, and it's not a felony. So you basically walk away that afternoon. But guess what a lot of people don't know? It's $900 per store. You could go on, steal $900, even get caught, but you're back on the street. You can go back out and do it again. It doesn't count as towards the threshold of becoming a felony. So you could just do this all day, which is what gangs are now doing, is they just go from store to store steal some jewelry and just make sure it's crazy.
We're going to go to break real quick. Everybody, we'll be back with Bob right after a short break.
How is that green energy transformation working for you? Energy chaos descends upon the world.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Yahoo Finance is reporting this week that firewood is the new gold in Europe. Prices and theft jump in Europe as Russia's gas cutoff boosts wood demand ahead of winter. 1,000% increase in EU energy prices. The New York Times is reporting that, quote, crippling energy bills are forcing European factories to go dark. Due to the shortages and high cost of energy, manufacturers are furloughing workers and shutting down lines because they can't pay gas and electric charges. Makers of metal, paper, fertilizer, other products that depend on gas and electricity are now being shuttered in Europe. Half of Europe's aluminum and zinc production taken offline. But don't worry, I'm sure China and India will be able to fill this manufacturing void. This, my friends, is the Great Reset in action. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A new research by John R. Lott Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Public Choice, found evidence of around 255,000 excess votes, possibly as many as 368,000 for Joe Biden in six swing states where Donald Trump lodged accusations of fraud. Biden only carries these states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, by a total of 313,253 votes. Excluding Michigan, the gap was 159,065. Courts have rejected challenges to the 2020 presidential vote, generally citing the lack of evidence that any alleged fraud would have altered the outcome in a particular state. Republican plaintiffs argued that since their observers couldn't watch the vote counts or were prevented from seeing other evidence, they couldn't provide such proof without investigations backed by subpoena power. Still, while some judges have agreed that irregularities occurred in 2020, they weren't willing to grant discovery in the absence of evidence that fraud could reverse the election results.
Claims that renewables are cheap or will lower prices are proven false. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Michael Parker Show. This is your host, Owen Stevens. Joining me today is Bob Hoge. We're talking about the insanity of the left. It's always fun to talk about that, but it's also alarming. As much as we, you know, want to laugh at what is going on, at what they're doing, because it's at times incredibly hilarious as they, you know, destroy their state and destroy where they're living. It's also sad. People have to live there. These are people. These are people that didn't choose this, and maybe they're indifferent, and maybe they didn't do the best job they could to recall a guy like Gavin Newsom. That's their fault. But there's a lot of people who did a lot of work. There's a lot of people who did, you know, stand up for what they believed in. Those people don't deserve to live in a place like that. They don't deserve to be treated like that. They don't deserve to have a person like that over them. What do you think is right now with Gavin Newsom, everything he's doing as far as electric cars, as far as, you know, the push for abortion, as far as this transgender push, every single thing. It's like they're the number one, you know, they're the ones to do it first as far as the progressive agenda. What's worrying you the most right now in California?
Oh, that's a tough one. There's a long list. Well, I would come back to what we were just talking about, which is crime and homelessness. I guess they're deeply entwined, so you can't really separate them. But you mentioned Gascon, George Gascon, the district attorney of Los Angeles County. He's backed by George Soros, of course. And he has literally decriminalized as many things as he can. A young teenager who was high on drugs, stole a car, specifically tried to run over a mom and her baby. And obviously that's attempted murder, but no, I forget the actual charge, but Gascon pleaded him down to 5 months in a camp, probation camp. Now, that's just wrong. When somebody tries to kill a mom and her baby, you need to put them away. And there are just so many examples of that. There are very violent people wandering around, and we hear tragic stories like that regularly. And they just keep seeming to double down. You mentioned the recall of Governor Newsom, and I have to admit that I was quite got depressed for a little bit when that failed, because I thought people are finally seeing the light.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, and I was quite let down, because there really is a beautiful state here. I've lived here for over 25 years, and I remember what it was like, and I want it back. And I'll cut it off here. The other thing that also worries me immensely, though, is the price of living here. Everyone by now has probably gone, oh, the gas prices have gone down, thank God. Well, guess what? They haven't here. We are $2 above the national average. Our taxes are off the charts. Home prices are off the charts. So people can't afford to live here. My kids probably won't be able to. And that saddens me, but I'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Red State and about what you're doing. I think it's so important to have, you know, news that you can go to that gives you the facts, that doesn't try to be fancy with it, but just boils it down. What do you guys pride yourselves most at the Red State in terms of news and what you guys are able to do over there?
Well, I think you just said it. We do. I mean, we have a leaning, conservative leaning, and we don't hide that. But we do bring you facts, and we bring you analysis. And I think we pride ourselves on exposing some of the just ridiculousness that is going on out there. I cover a lot of California, which is insane, as we've discussed. But there's also a lot of national news, and we have some great writers. And one of the great things for me, I'll just give you a second of background, which is I loved Red State. I've discovered them during the pandemic, and I really just turned to them because I was like, you are the only people saying the truth. What's really happening? I can't take CNN lying to me anymore. I mean, there were others, but that's the one I gravitated to. And so I think we pride ourselves on not being afraid to tell the truth and taking the heat that comes with that. And the last thing I would say is that we cover, we're allowed to cover what we want. So that's really a freeing thing. I can go today. I was just talking with Owen, and I'm really upset about that abortion bill I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm going to write about that, and I am given the freedom to do that. And that's very rare. And I really appreciate that. And I think it gives our site a fresh perspective that is really great, I hope.
Well, I think it is too. I think that's absolutely phenomenal. You became more politically active when COVID first hit. Maybe not when COVID first hit, but at least when the government's response to COVID first hit, which I could argue was a more damaging pandemic than the pandemic itself. The government response was the disease. That was the disease right there. It wasn't COVID. COVID was not something that that we should have ever been worried about. I wasn't worried about it. I'm a very healthy young man. I'm not worried about that in the slightest. But I'm worried about the government coming in and telling me that my siblings cannot go to school unless they get a COVID vaccine. I'm against them telling me that I have to wear a mask every single place, but it's okay to take it off and then eat a little bit, but you got to put it right back on. That's theater. These are people participating in social theater. This is insane.
Yeah. Yes. I likened it very early on. I was like, wait a minute. Let's say you have a blister on your foot. So you take a sledgehammer. Very good. You got rid of the blister. You now have a broken foot. And that's how I likened it. And one reason I got active is because I had teenagers in high school. And I'll be honest, the lockdowns, they were at home for over a year and a half, not allowed to go to school, forced to wear masks wherever they went, then vaccine mandates, which we told them to take a hike. But it really devastated them. And we're still working back from that now and trying to get some normalcy. But when you take a kid's primary high school years and say, go live them in your living room, you are doing serious damage. And I saw it close and up front. And that's when I said, I've got to, I can't just sit here throwing things, watching Tucker Carlson and throwing things at my TV. I've got to say something too. And so that's what got me going. And I just think the COVID response here has been so draconian, so oppressive, and ineffective.
That's ineffective.
Terrible. It didn't work. So that's what got me galvanized. And I'll just say, my son, who's a little older than the high schoolers, he didn't love school. He was a tremendous athlete. He didn't get that from me. I'm only okay. But he was a great athlete. And his school was like, okay. But then he got to college and, you know, he wanted to leave and we wouldn't let him. And then he realized, wait a minute, I'm screwing around here. This is a good opportunity. I'm going to apply myself. And he did. And he got all his way to the graduation and they didn't have it. He never got to walk down with his cap on, holding his diploma and hear his name called. And some, you know, the liberals go, oh, well, that's the price you have to pay. It's not important. Yes, it is important. There were life events that were missed by millions of people, funerals, weddings, graduations, and it just didn't have to be that way. As Ron DeSantis showed, his numbers were just the same as ours, if not better, and he did none of this stuff.
Yeah. People dying alone in hospitals without the ability to see their family before they died. Think about that. Think about not being able to see your father or your mother before they die.
God.
That is, I cannot imagine that. That right there is like the thing that it's so angering, but it's just, it is sad. You know,
yeah.
I think that there needs to be, I don't think we've ever really fully recovered from at least the nation's sense of a national identity. Who are we as America if we can allow these crooks to gain control and do this to our families, do this to our communities, and do this to individual Americans? Who are we as a country if this is allowed to happen and occur? We are not as strong as we thought we were. We are not as free as we thought we were. This was a referendum against how we have failed as Americans to properly uphold a country that values freedom and liberty, that's the home of the brave, right? We're not the home of the brave. Who was brave during this pandemic, right? Very few people were brave. Who was brave enough to not get a vaccine that you did not know what was inside of it and sacrifice your job? There were a few people, but most people weren't brave enough. We're not the home of the land. We're not the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're the land of the subjugated and the home of the weak right now. That's sad and shameful to witness. I want to give you the last few minutes of the show to kind of talk about what you're doing next, give everybody a sense of where they can find you, where they can connect. I've absolutely had a wonderful interview.
Incredibly great.
Yeah, incredibly great to speak to you. We're happy to have you on. Very grateful for your contribution and everything. Seriously.
Thank you.
I love it. Anyways, give everybody a sense of where they can find you for the last few minutes and we'll close it out.
Okay. I'll just say one last thing about your excellent close there about the brave. Is one of the scariest things to me during all of this is that a lot of the draconian, I keep using that word, but oppressive policies thrown down were made by unelected officials, bureaucrats. And yet, for instance, our public health director here in Los Angeles has sway over 10 million people. She's not a doctor and she was not elected. And yet she's the one who said, you have to mask up, long after everybody else in the country had stopped. She's still trying to enact it now. And Red State fought that very hard. And we feel like we played a part in her having to stand down because we exposed some corruption and stuff. So that was just one thing I wanted to throw out there. So, yes, I was really thrilled when Red State asked me to write for them because, like I say, they had sort of saved me mentally along with some other outlets. I think Tucker Carlson. Do you know Alex Berenson? He was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was terrific until he got shut off. But so I looked up to this and this site. There's others, but I looked up to this one a lot. And so I was thrilled when they asked me. And this is redstate.com. We're trying to promote to a lot of people that it's one word because some people go, the Red State. And it's Red State. And we have a lot of one thing that's great about it is we have a lot of different columnists who won't always, we're not homogenous. We're not going to give you the same take over and over and over. We're not a monolith of, we love Trump. There's a guy who doesn't really like Trump that much. You know, there's some people who think Trump is great. There's some people, we're not going to give you CNN stuff. I mean, we're not that varied, but we do provide a variety of opinion and some of it you'll agree with, some you might not.
Awesome.
I get knocked sometimes and I've learned to live with that.
It's
always tough the first time, but
You know,
you learn to live that if this is what you're going to do, some people are going to like it and some aren't.
Yeah.
I like to think most of my readers do. And we produce a lot of content that
amazing.
It's been effective. And we're, I think the word's starting to get out that things are happening there. So I've really.
Well, Bob, we're glad to have you on. It was such a great interview. And we will, everybody, thank you for tuning into the Michael Parker Show. And we'll see you guys next time.